The title of today's lesson is called, Are You Blind? This is a spiritual question of great importance. Unlike being naturally blind in the flesh, where one cannot see anything, spiritual blindness can happen to a person, and that person be completely unaware that they cannot see. Nevertheless, these people are blinded to the understanding of the Scriptures of the Word of God. This is a very scary place to be. For you are in the darkness of this world, but yet believe you are in the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. The question today is, are you one of these people that are spiritually blinded and unaware? This question is of eternal consequences, for if you are spiritually blinded, you are lost. You may be recalling 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The question that may be coming to your mind is, why would anyone be spiritually blinded if the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance? To understand the answer to this question will take an understanding of whom the Lord will teach doctrine, how Scriptures are discerned, what causes spiritual blindness, and finally, to whom the Lord will reveal the doctrine of Christ to, and to whom it is hid from. The answer to the first question, to whom will the Lord teach doctrine, is found in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, This is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. The prophet Isaiah is telling us that knowledge and the understanding of doctrine comes by studying the Scriptures one line at a time, which is line upon line, and also by one precept at a time, which is a rule that governs one's behavior, which would be a commandment. So he is saying, we learn by one commandment at a time, and by studying the Scriptures one line upon another line, one commandment upon another. God purposed this for man so that we would study the Scriptures. God is looking for someone who truly loves Him and is seeking Him. These types of people will search the Scriptures, pray about them, learn from their pastor, preachers, and teachers, and will always consider all possible meanings of the verse in hand, because they want to make certain they are obeying the gospel correctly. It is to these people that God will open the Scriptures up to, because the Scriptures are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So the answer to the second question, which was, how are the Scriptures discerned, is by the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God. To answer the third question, which was, what caused the spiritual blindness, we will need to look at some examples given to us. We will start with taking notice of what verse 13 of Isaiah 28 above has told us. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. This verse here is speaking of the Jews. The Jews had been disobedient over and over to the Lord throughout the reading of the Old Testament. In his jealousy, he decided that he would go to another people who were not a people, this being us, the Gentiles. So Isaiah tells us that the word of the Lord to the Jews was one commandment upon another, one line upon another, until it caused them to be snared. It became a trap to them. The word of God is written in a way that God reveals to some while concealing it from others. The answer for why is because of seeing whether you have an honest or a dishonest heart. Do you truly love Him, and will you obey what He says? Or will you not truly love Him and decide to build your own plan of salvation from the Scriptures? Hear the parable of the sower, and take notice on whom the Lord tells us it is that receives the seed. In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18, "And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, and riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." We have learned some life-essential words of wisdom in this parable and from the snare which has befallen upon the Jews. To better understand these words of wisdom concerning why the Lord spoke in parables, let's listen to the Apostle Matthew as he has recorded for us why the Lord spoke in parables. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You may have heard this just now, and missed the answer to why this happens. The answer is verse 15. Jesus tells us their heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. And here is the answer to why they don't see. For their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should open their eyes and see, which would allow them to open their ears to hear, which would bring understanding to their heart, which would bring repentance and conversion, and then Jesus would heal them. Jesus is looking for a bride that truly loves Him, someone obedient and faithful to Him. The Scriptures were deliberately set up to either ensnare you if you love not the truth, or if you do love the truth, the Spirit will open your understanding. Let's compare this to the natural. When you are about to be married, how do you want your spouse to love you? Do you want them to love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or do you prefer them to somewhat love you and every so often cheat on you? Or would you rather if they were going to halfway love you that you had never even met this person? In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride of Christ. So then, if you are a person halfway serving the Lord, we are told that your ending will be that you are spewed out of the Lord's mouth. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." In Matthew chapter 22, verse 40, he tells us, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You may be wondering, how will love save you? The answer is, love fulfills all the law, and God is love. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, "Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Apostle John continues in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So now that we understand to whom the Lord will teach doctrine, how the Scriptures are discerned, and that the gospel is deliberately set up to either ensnare you if you love not the truth, or to be opened to you by the Spirit if you do love the truth, we will continue by seeing to whom the gospel is hid from, and to whom it is revealed to. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This goes right along with what Jesus answered to his disciples concerning them that had shut their own eyes. Now we find out that because they believe not, the God of this world has blinded their minds. So the gospel is only hidden to the wise, prudent, and to them that are lost, yet it is revealed unto babes. The answer to the question of, to whom will the Lord reveal the doctrine of Christ to, and to whom is it hid from, is to them that are wise and prudent, and to them that are lost. The gospel of Christ is not intended to be hid. The gospel is revealed unto babes, which are those that have an honest and a good heart, as the parable of the sower revealed. They not only hear the word of God, but also keep it by applying what they have learned, and these bear fruit with patience. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. The word rest, W-R-E-S-T, means to twist or to turn away. So these people that are unlearned and unstable, to try to get themselves to understand the scriptures, they end up turning or twisting the scriptures around, and it ends up being unto their own destruction. Let me reread verse 16 so that you can hear it again. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Here Apostle Peter tells us what to do in verse 18 so that we will not be blinded. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. In closing, with this newfound knowledge, we can now understand why there are so many divisions of Christianity that have led to so many different denominations. Now that you can see that the gospel was designed to either ensnare one or to be open to one, you want to make sure you are somebody that the scriptures are open to. This comes by making sure what you are taught is correct and growing in the grace and knowledge of God as Apostle Peter has spoken. And in conclusion, Apostle Peter gives us the instructions very clearly on how to make sure we never fall and that we will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I urge everyone that has read or listened to this message to cry out to God with an honest and a good heart, and to make sure that you are not one that has become spiritually blinded, and that your thoughts are being overtaken by Satan unbeknownst to you.